So turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at the first four verses in just a second. I've been reading the book Manna by Steve Farrar. And part of the book is just stressing how important God's Word is in our lives. You know, he says that we constantly need to remind ourselves that it is our spiritual food, and it gives life-giving nutrients. You know, you can't survive without food. We know that, in water. But we can't survive spiritually without God's Word. Farrar says, the meditation of the Scripture is to the soul like food is to the body. So let's real quick look at Matthew chapter 4, first four verses. As you know, this is the temptation of Christ. He's starting his ministry. And it says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We know that verse, but do we believe that? You know, Farrar is real critical of men about letting the Bible guide our lives. He says that men, he uses two analogies to describe it. He said there's a lot of anorexic men. And you know what? When you're anorexic, you develop an aversion to food, and you don't eat. You know, Karen Carpenter, you know, a lot of you don't even know who that is, but Karen Carpenter was a person that made it famous. You know, she died of a heart attack, 36, 37 years old, and she was anorexic. She wouldn't eat. And it's very, as you know, we have to have the Word in us. So that's why under Mark's leadership, we started a program in our church this year where a lot of people are reading through the Bible this year. But listen to this. Farrar in graduate school did a survey of 1,000 men, and this was a legitimate survey. He didn't do a survey of 1,000 men who said they were Christian. He did a survey of men that they thought were Christians. 50% of the men who were surveyed spent one time or less a week in personal time in God's Word. 50% once or less. Listen to what George Gallup said. He discovered, you know, Gallup polls. He discovered in his research, this is what he said. He said, Americans revere the Bible, but by large, they don't read it. Americans revere the Bible, by large, they don't read it. Then Farrar goes on to say, there's our bulimic. And, you know, we know what bulimia is. It's when they eat and then they throw it up. You know, it's a being purged syndrome. Farrar says, you got some men and women who are anorexic. They don't take the Word in, then some who go, but like somebody that are suffering from bulimia, they don't digest it. They throw it right back up. They don't apply it to their lives. They don't apply it to their mind. They don't apply it to their heart. They don't shine it on their lives. For our rights, the Scripture is worthless to you if it enters your mind but never permeates your heart or infuses your will. Remember in Psalms 1:2, and in His law He meditates day and night. Farrar quoted a study did by Howard Hendricks in his book, and he surveyed 246 men in full-time ministry who had fallen to sexual immorality. Now, these 246 men were not heretics. They were not people that lost their minds and did crazy things. These were people that were respected and who had solid ministries. So what he did was he did a survey, and he analyzed these 246 men who had fallen. And you know what they found out? The vast majority had stopped their personal time in God's Word. They were in church. They were hearing sermons. Some of them were preaching sermons. But they had not taken God's Word and applied it to their lives, to their will, to their conscience. And so what result was immorality and embarrassment. So we must use God's Word as a light unto our soul. Today, Mark's going to look at one thing that will be discussed is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Everybody says, well, that's, you know, Tim Challies, in an article Mark sent me this week, he said, we have a tendency to skip over fundamental matters and ponder them, and instead we go straight to practical stuff. We want a list. Give me a list. I'll check that list off. Okay, done, done, done. Then I'll go on to the next thing. But what we have to do is, even something as basic as that, we have to apply that scripture to our lives. We have to ponder it in our hearts and in our actions. Challies gave 6 ways that we should honor our parents. You know what? It's not just for people who are 17 and younger. Honoring your parents is something you do while they walk this earth, and really after they don't no longer walk this earth. My mother's in heaven, but I need to honor her. So we respect, first thing, he gives 6 things. We need to respect our parents and honor our parents. Now, here's the tricky thing. We got to honor all our parents. I had good parents. Some people had parents that might have struggled more. My parents weren't perfect, though. But God didn't say honor them if they deserve to be honored. He said what? Honor them. Honor and authority is so important. The second point was, listen, forgive them. Forgive them. Your parents aren't perfect. Because both my sons are in here, so I'm not just saying that because they're here. Forgive your daddy. But perhaps the most important way we can do in our lives is to forgive people. Forgive them. I never forget our Lord and Savior on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. I'm going to tell you about today's society. It's in the blame game. Blame your parents. Blame your second grade teacher. Blame somebody. Blame everybody. Instead of being accountable for your actions. The third thing is, he said, speak well of them. We should never speak evil to our parents. Kelly said, we live in a time where airing our laundry is a noble thing. Jesus said in Romans 13:7, he says, Paul told us, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue who's owed. Respect whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. We owe our parents honor, and we should honor them. You know, in Exodus 21, assaulting your parents and cursing your parents was the same punishment in the Old Testament. You know what that punishment was? It was death. It was death. I'm not saying we should still, but I mean, that's how sacred it was to God. All right, I'm not taking it literally, okay, guys? My 2 sons there. We need to esteem our parents publicly and privately. You know, my dad is still alive, and I need to tell him, not only when I'm with him, but when I can publicly, what an impact he had on my life. And I love my dad. And I never can tell him enough how much he means to me while he's on this earth. We need to seek our parents' wisdom. I'm 52, be 53, not too long. But I still ask my dad for wisdom. I still ask him what he thinks. I ask my father-in-law what he thinks. My father and my dad have both given me some good advice recently. And I tell him, and I'm honored to have him. We need to seek the wisdom of our parents. And the last thing is, we need to provide for them. You know, when I was young, I understand I was a pretty difficult baby. And my parents, I don't think I slept a lot. And boy, I tried their patience. I think my dad tried to talk my mom into putting me into the chest of drawers one day, maybe, and it's kind of closed. I'm not joking. I mean, I was rough. But you know what? They provided for me. They loved me. I was a weird kid. I really was. But you know, one time will come, my dad, as he gets older, he has some health issue, and it's time now to provide for your parents. And it's just not, it could be financially, but it could be time, it could be assurance. My dad this week, he's back driving, he had some surgery, but he still wanted me to go to the hospital with him. Still wanted me to go, so I went. He had to get some tests run. We need to provide for our parents. You know, if we call ourselves a Christian, but we don't honor and love our parents, our faith's real shallow. We need to really examine ourselves. So as Mark goes, something as basic as this, but it's so fundamental, that's what the purpose of God's word is, to shine a light inside. I want to close. Scott and Mark, we had a men's retreat last week. Go to Ephesians real quick, please, Ephesians 5, and I'm going to close it up. And we were supposed to read in Ephesians last week for our men's conference last week. And so I read a couple of things that kind of stuck to my mind that was as I was reading some in Farrar's book. Let's start in chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians 5, chapter 6. We're going to read a few verses, then we'll skip over, okay? Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And listen to this, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. How can we discern without God's word? Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, which is God's word, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then on how you walk, not as wise, but as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. So we're in an evil time, and sometimes we struggle with what is right and what's wrong. We struggle with what do we do. That's why we need His Word. Flip over to chapter 6, verses 10 through 10. Starting verse 10, it says, finally, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present in darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And look, the first thing we're supposed to stake in our armor, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth. What's the belt? What is the truth? In life, the only truth that some days you can find is God's word. And then look at verse 17, taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. So the Bible is the truth. His truth is here, and it is the thing that helps us in all these struggles that we have. So as we go today, you know, I'm always excited to hear from Mark, but as we go today, ask the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, is there something in my life that Mark will share today? Is there something the Holy Spirit needs to tell me? There's something in my life that I need to change or I need to be convicted of. And then also as we go to confession today, are you like those people in that average study? Have you had a personal time with God's word maybe only once or so in the last couple of weeks? Because life, it can be very difficult. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just, so many times in my life, Lord, I've struggled because I just have not relied on your word. And Lord, I've not meditated on it. I've not asked for you to convict me, to lead me, to show me things in me that are improper and impure. Lord, help in the flesh, in my darkness, in my flesh, in my depravity, Lord, allow me to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reflect on your word, and Lord, be convicted, and then act on that conviction through the help of the Spirit. And Lord, I also pray for Mark today that you fill him with the Spirit, but I also pray for the body present today, Lord, that we will listen with ears, and we'll see with our eyes, and we'll apply what we hear to our lives, and we'll meditate, we'll not think of others, Lord, but we'll think of ourselves. and we'll hold the standards of your scripture to our actions and our thoughts and our attitudes. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.